Something's always happened.
No, let me adjust my microphone. Oh, I'm having trouble. Good morning! Hello, cows! You're listening to Quasi Hypothetical Sentinelist, your wonderful source for free MP3 files. Wow. I'm Jane Emerald, and, you know, something happened this morning. It got up, I was doing the dishes as I do them most mornings, trying to catch up with things. And, while I was doing dishes this morning, Lisa just got kind of a wild hair, Lisa, my wife, and, she started cleaning out, the medicine cupboard. You know, if you're kind of a pack rat, and honestly, Lisa and I kind of are, we're pack rats of different things, honestly, but, we have this cabinet, and it's full of all the pills that we didn't really finish up on. There's a few medications that we take on a regular basis, just because we have to. I have to take some medicine for my gout. She has to take some stuff for her thyroid. And, so, you know, you build up this incredible amount of stuff, you know. Just pills that either you chose never to take or stuff like that. And, it brought to mind, it always brings to mind stuff for me, and I've always got to lecture about it. So here I am lecturing about this kind of stuff. There was some really old stuff up there. My son Matt, who's autistic, for a little time there, we were contemplating medicating him to try and make it so that we could deal with him better. You know, that's all gone by the wayside. But anyway, we had a bottle up there with Ritalin in it. You know, the stuff that everybody always goes, oh my gosh! You know, it's made for hyperactivity, stuff like that. And that's the biggest problem, isn't hyperactivity. He has other problems, but I thought perhaps Ritalin might help. Not that was what we thought of first. The doctor tried a few other things. We were just kind of fooling around to say what we could do. And it brought to mind an interesting topic. Anybody who knows me knows that I am somewhat a critic of public education. And I don't like how public education teaches yada yada yada. You know, that I'm trying to make them better places. No, I actually am critical of the whole concept of public education. And it brought into mind a wonderful thing. I don't know if this is kind of a basal thing that bothers me. And I call it institutional thought. You know, if you're maybe like a 1984 person, if you've read that, if you kind of like interesting things like doublespeak, and how they used to cram things together to make them sound cool. They actually do that in Canada quite a bit. You know, Petro-Can is their national petroleum company. And, you know, there was all kinds of things in 1984 that were kind of just little chopped down versions of these. Maybe just because they didn't really want you to know what they did. Of course, you had the whole doublespeak things, you know, war is peace, freedom is slavery, yada, 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 you know. Anyway, so information, institutional thought, you know, becomes like insta-think. Stuff, well, whatever, I don't know, maybe I'll come up with something better. I think I will. That doesn't sound good. It isn't a nice thing that people immediately say, oh, that's exactly what he's talking about. Institutional thought means that everything around our lives is focused on institutions. Like, take, for instance, Ritalin, for instance. You know, people always got concerned because we were probably over-medicating our kids and making them dummies and are turning them into these zombies. And there was maybe a little bit of conversation about the fact that this is what schools wanted. You know? Either you're going to be compliant to the schools by nature, or we'll give you a drug to make you compliant to the schools. And you have to understand, that's us, as you know, in the way of Ritalin, that's changing our chemistry to be more amenable to the school, you know? All of a sudden, the school runs your life, not just that it dominates the biggest part of your day as a child, not just that your parents put such high value on what the school says that it's the major topic of conversation. We used to decry the fact that we didn't talk around the dinner table, and then when people tried, what were they talking about? Well, what happened in school today? Tell me about your day. See, and that's garbage. School is pointless. You know? School is like, you asking like a question such as, well, honey, tell me about the ingredients in tonight's dinner. Dad, tell me about the numbers you punched on your telephone while you were at work. You know, tell me about that. And, you know, it's just like, these are stupid things. It's like, tell me about the mechanics of your day, because that's the most important thing I want to know about. When you take it out of context of school, it sounds silly. And you know why? Because most of the things we do in school are just kind of silly, you know? And if you take it out of those things, well, how have you done your homework? You know, your kids come home, and we just get weird about their homework, you know? We don't want them to have lives outside of school. School is everything! School is all that's important, by golly! And, of course, you don't want to be telling people, well, you know what, you could let your kid run the streets. You could let your kid dig holes all day long if they want to, or whatever. Maybe you'll force them to. Maybe you're looking for something. Maybe it's like that movie Holes. You can have your kids dig holes all day long, never go to school, and then when they're 17 years old, send them off for 6 weeks to some GED boot camp, and all of a sudden, boom, they've got the same credentials that kids did who have had to toil and labor and slave away for 13 years. And you go, who's the stupid one? The person who's been stuck in school, doing all the things school does? Of course, people say, oh, but they lost all those great socialization time. Do you remember what they told you when they said, when you went to school and you tried to talk to your neighbor? Shut up! This isn't the time for talking! No talking! We're taking a test! No talking! This needs to be your work, not somebody else's! Yada, 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 yada. You know what? It's the whole thing about institutional thought. Institutions think. That's the only way we can think is inside of institutions. It almost trains us so we can't do anything but sit there and have our whole minds chewed up by first school and then later on by whatever job we have. And I've never been like that. Job has been for one purpose and one purpose alone. It's not here to fulfill my needs. It's not here to take care of my social desires. It's not here for anything besides me trading my time for money. And you know what, often enough, I've been in situations where I said, you know what, I don't like the trade-off anymore. This trade-off doesn't work for me. And I think that's where people get really confused with me. They all very much have this whole thing about, well, you know, I go to work, you know, I'll take my father-in-law as an example, although we never talked about it, because I never really talked to my father-in-law about anything. We had absolutely nothing in common. And I don't think he really respected me, and, you know, honestly, I didn't... I respected some things about him, but not very much. He had started working for the company that he worked for until the day he died at the ripe old age of 15. He had given himself over to this organization. He had, you know, he got up early in the morning. His job was totally consumed with two things. Number one, work, which defined him, that's what he was. And number two, with coming home and watching sports to try to relax before he went to bed. And that was basically it. His major demands on everybody else were to make sure that food was on the table and to make sure his house was clean so he didn't have to live in filth. And that was pretty much it. You know, they would go on vacations, you know, they would do all the typical things. But that was mostly his life. That's a whole lot of people from that generation. You invested yourself fully into what you did. It's institutional thought. Your life is to serve whatever institution you associate yourself with. And sometimes you don't get the opportunity to really ever make that choice. It's almost a choice made for you. In other countries besides, say, the United States, where it's a little more planned, even more so. You know, they say this is the industry you're going to work for. If you're stupid, dunderhead, or if we need more cogs in the system rather than scientists or anything else, then what we're going to do is you're going to become a cog in the system, where your major training is going to be to deal with the fact that you press a button, flip a switch, you do something that requires no aptitude. And that's a shame. Jeez. We are married almost more so to our institutions than we're married to, say, our spouses. And there's and that's a good comparison. More people, there's people who change spouses more often than they change jobs. So what are they more dedicated to? Their job. You know, and there's 500 different reasons for doing that, I suppose. You know, most of the time, and I don't think we really, it's not really in our vocabulary. We don't really have words for this kind of setup, because we have a million other explanations. Well, I'm interested more in money than anything else. And you go, well, that's what one of the incentives that institutions have to getting you to do what they want, is that they're willing to pay you money. You know, pretty simple. Or a promise of a better life. And that's really what we've become. The great promise of happiness, better life, stuff like that, is something that comes through institutions. So we give ourselves over to these institutions to the point that nothing else matters quite so much as an institution. You know, you'll do whatever the institution asks you to do, because that's what's important to you. You know, you might spend 5 years being married. It's like movie stars. Movie stars will never stop being movie stars. You know, they put themselves into this industry, into the movie industry. They're not getting out of that. You don't hear a lot of instances. There are some. I'm not going to say there's not. There are people who say, well, I spent my time being a movie star, and then I decide I want other things. I wanted family and marriage and stuff like that. But by and large, most of the popular people, the people that really sell their souls to the movie industry, you know, they aren't going to change their lives to get married. Marriage has to fit into their institutional thinking. You know, this is what I do, this is what I am. And you go, what you do is what you are. Interesting. And it mostly has to do with how you make money. I've never been that kind of a person, and I don't understand people who are that way, honestly. And it makes for just an interesting thing to try to have a conversation with other people, because they don't see it. They just say, I don't understand what your problem is. Do you have a problem with making money? And you go, no. Most of the times I change jobs, well, I can't say that. Sometimes when I change a job, it's strictly for the money. It's strictly because I need more money than what I have now. And that's what I do. I change jobs. You know, people go, well, you're never going to build up retirement. You're never going to build up in anything. You need to commit yourself to something. And I've been really raked over the coals by many people that I know. You know, I can think of my grandparents on my mother's side, for instance. They're both passed away now, so I guess I can talk about them without them getting too upset. I don't have to listen to them say, "Ah, Jay, everybody just a schmuck." You know, they can always blame it on the other side of the family, I'm sure. You know, my grandfather always said, well, you need to go to school for something you can really support yourself with. Because he was a very institutional person. His big thing was education. You know, going to a school, getting education, and then going out and getting your work, and then doing that work until retirement, and then doing something else, whatever makes you happy. I don't think he was ever really very happy with his retirement, because his life was so invested in his work. So when he stopped working, he was kind of listless, and he didn't know what to do exactly. He didn't know what to do with himself. So anyway, poor guy, all these problems. And it was because of this institutional speak. He was so invested in it. It was everything that was important. Everything his teacher said in school was gospel truth. Everything he said at his church was gospel truth. Everything that his supervisors ever told him. Well, no, I can't say that. You know, he bucked the system as much as anybody else ever did. But it was only to make the system better. It wasn't just to say, you know what? I don't want to sell my soul to anybody. I don't want to be a little piece of something larger. You know, I've got my own interests in life. That's really what we've become. And it's, you know, and you can relate it back to the Ritalin in school. What's the most important thing? Is that you fit in at school. You know, it's not important to be an individual. It's not important to be yourself. Although we pay lip service to that just amazingly. You know, doing that and saying that is two totally different things. And they really do want to keep it that way. You know. So we become beholden to these institutions. There's people who are beholden to government. They get money from the government. They wouldn't be able to survive if it wasn't for the government taking away from somebody else to give to them. So they'll do whatever the institution basically says. You know, they may moan, complain, and say, rah, 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 I wish it wasn't this way, but when push comes to shove, when the government says, hey, this is the way it's going to be, those guys may grumble and complain, but they'll do what they're told. And their fighting of it is strictly almost just slapping their gums in the wind. It has really no meaning. I've always lived my life differently. I'm not institutional, Well, I can't say that. I tend to be less institutional than other people are, and that's worrisome to some people. I've always been fortunate in the jobs that I've had that people look at my qualifications as what I can do for them and find that more important than my my loyalty to, say, like a company or an organization or a field, for instance. There's some places where I think I don't get, that counts against me. Where, you know, people always used to say, the guys who tell you to how to write a resume, they say, you need to have some jobs where you've been there for a while, because that's what companies like to see. They like to see you loyal to the company, not bouncing around from here to there. And I've always had a good excuse for why I did that, because I live in the middle of nowhere, and there really aren't any corporations where I am, and I kind of like that. So I'm thinking that this is kind of more basic to my, to me, and maybe to other people, than that. Is that why I bring up that other people are cows? You guys do what you're told. You guys do what you're freaking told. I do what I'm told certain hours a day because people pay me for it. That's pretty honest. That's pretty much the way I look at things. That's what's important to me. Otherwise, I don't have any interest. You know? And I usually try to be pretty honest. I guess it's very disconcerting to some people. When as soon as I start a job and I'm not happy there, I immediately start telling them, I'm a short timer. I'm not going to be here for very long. And, you know, I like being honest. I don't like having to tell, I don't have to like manufacturing lies to get a job. You know, it's kind of almost programmed in things that there are some things that you lie about in order to get what you need. And over time, I've been doing that less and less to the point to where I just don't like it. I just don't like doing it. Anyway, well, time's nearly up. I think I want to talk about this some more, so we'll have another MP3 file. It's probably on institutional thought. Maybe I'll go off in another direction. We'll find out. This is Quasi Indefatigable Zentalist. I'm Jay Nemro. If you want more information, or if you want to get the straight scoop on all the MP3s, there's so many of them now, I crank these things out. Go to Quix, Q-U-I-X, which is short for Quasi Indefatigable Zentalist, .us, Quix.us, and you can get all kinds of information about all this stuff. This is Jay Nemro. Have a great day, and don't just do what everybody else does.